the wee," she said aloud. "Just don't stare too intently at the big bush with the purple flowers," said Marco. Before she could answer, a man pushed his way between the archers and grinned down at her. He was short and built like a wall. Even his skin was brick-coloured. A thatch of yellow hair and wide moustaches framed eyes that glittered enough to remind Kin that intelligence didn't necessarily start with an industrial revolution. He wore leggings, a belted smock that fell to his knees, and a red cloak. They all looked as though they had been slept in, if not worse. One calloused hand tapped thoughtfully at the hilt of a half-concealed sword. Kin smiled back. Finally, he stopped the grinning contest by kneeling down and extending a hand. Jewels gleamed on the dirt-ingrained fingers, with a suggestion that they had once belonged to other people. Kin accepted the hand as gracefully as she could, and climbed out onto the bank. There was a faint sigh from the men. She treated them all to another smile, which caused them to step back uneasily, and plucked a water-lily flower from her hair. Brickface broke the spell with an appraising glance and a short comment that caused a general snigger.
"Turn up the gain control," said the voice in her ear. "If he is speaking Latin, Silver may be able to translate."
"I don't need a translation of that," said Kin. She treated her audience to another toothpaste grin and stepped forward. Brickface nodded, and one man darted hurriedly out of the way. A group of three men were standing around the dumb waiter. Two of them wore heavy grey robes, and the third, a youth, wore clothes that were bright and obviously impractical. All three pulled back guiltily as she approached. Then the youth said something and reached inside his shirt, pulling out an amulet which he held in front of him as he advanced stiff-legged towards her. He held it like a weapon. Kin noticed that his eyes were glazed, sweat glistened on his forehead. He stopped in front of her, staring straight ahead. She sensed that everyone was expecting something of her. She reached out gingerly and took the amulet. There was a gasp from the robed pair. Behind her, Brickface doubled up with sudden laughter. The young man stared, lips moving on soundless words. Kin peered politely at the thing in her hands. It was a wooden cross, with what she at first thought was the figure of an acrobat. She handed it back as graciously as she could manage. The young man grabbed it, looked frantically around the clearing, and scurried away up the slope to the track. As the robed men started to follow him, Kin could see what they had been doing. They had run a sword into the dumbwaiter's output slot.
"They're breaking up the waiter," she hissed. "Okay, Kin, when I say duck, duck. Duck."
Something whirred past her head and struck one of the men between the eyes. He gave a sigh and toppled backward.
"Cape illud fracturor," said a satisfied voice in her ear.
Brickface gripped her wrist firmly and stalked towards the slope, the archers following him as closely. They glanced fearfully at the forest.
"What was that?" said Kin as she was jerked up the slope.
Pine needles clung and pricked her feet.
"Silver threw a stone," said Marco,
the awe in his voice recognisable, even in earpiece reproduction. Kin looked back and saw the waiter, her suit, and the fallen man lying forlornly near the water's edge.
"There is little we can do at present," said the Kung conversationally. "The weaponry is laughable, but the situation is not sufficiently desperate to warrant a direct confrontation."
"Huh?"
"I would not wish you to think that I am motivated by anything other than intelligent caution."
"No, Marco."
"Now Silver would like a word."
There was a rustle.
"You are thought to be some kind of water spirit," said Silver. "Apparently they're not uncommon. You should have screamed when they showed you that figure of the Christos. My immediate advice is to cover yourself as soon as possible. There appears to be some rigid prohibition concerning nudity."
End of CD 4.